time of need. Have you been through it this week, and have you been calling on your God? He has helped you through this week. He has helped you through the trials. He's helped you through the sickness. He's helped your family members. You've been calling on Him, and He's given you the strength. Has He? Let's just give Him praise today. Raise those hands. Thank you, Jesus. You are our strength. You're our deliverer. You're the God who heals. You're our provision. And we thank you, Father, for it. We give you praise. Praise you, Lord. Lift this roof with praise. There should be more praise in that. Come on. Hallelujah. Right to that wire. I remember reading when I can't even think of her name now. She was a Holocaust survivor, and her dad would take her to the train station. Corrie Ten Boom. He would take her to this train station, and he would have both of their tickets, and he would not give her the ticket. She'd say, "Dad, let me hold my ticket." And he would say, "I'll give it to you when it's time." And she could hear the train whistle. And he'd say, "I'll give it to you when it's time." And she'd say, she'd see the smoke. And she'd say, "Can I have my ticket?" And he'd say, "I'll give it to you when it's time." And she would see the train. And she'd say, "Can I have my train ticket?" And he would say, "I'll give it to you when it's time." And she would see the train pull in. And she'd say, "Can I have my train ticket?" And he'd say, "I will give it to you when it's time." She would see the conductor step out on that step. She'd say, "Can I have my train ticket?" He would say, "I'll give it to you when it's time." And God is like that sometimes. You feel the heat of the situation. You feel the struggle. You feel the difficulties of life. And you're praying and you're saying, "God, isn't it time for my answer? Isn't it time for my healing? Isn't it time, God? Isn't it time?" And He's saying, "I'll give it to you when it's time." And then right when it's time, get your answer. And it's so difficult. We're like that child. It's like, "Come on, let me hold it. Let me have it." But He'll give it to you when it's time. Thank you, God, that You know us when it's time. Thank you, God. And you know, because I know some of you really well, and I've heard things out of your mouth, and I've heard and seen things text this week, I know you're asking, "God, is it time?" And I know your prayers, and I know your prayers in your quiet parts, and in your closets, and in your cars. I know them. And I know you're asking, "Isn't it time?" So let's go to God right now.
Yes.
Because He knows the perfect timing. God, we come to You. If you have a special need, step out in the aisle. If you need that healing, you got that family member, step out in the aisle in faith right now. Because those that do not have, they will see and they can pray. Yes, right now. In faith. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Now, those that you don't have a need and you feel that need somebody else, go and pray with those that... Thank you. Thank you. Those that do not have a need and you feel like you see someone that you want to pray for, reach out to them now and pray for them now. Father, in the name of Jesus, You see these needs that are represented, Father. Lord, we come to you bringing these needs to you. Father, you know exactly what's on their heart and their minds. You know the prayers that they prayed in silence. And Father, we come to you asking, Father, that you would bring those healings, that you would bring those finances, that you would bring those desires to pass. Answer them, Lord, in your time. Father, we thank you, Father, that you are working behind the scenes to meet those needs. You're working behind the scenes, Father, that you can bring forth what is needed in every situation. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have the provisions. Lord, you're the God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And there's no limits to what you can provide. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you love us beyond our own understanding. And we thank you, Lord, that you have our good in mind. So provide, protect, Lord. Give guidance, Father. Give understanding through the changes. Lord, bring healing to those that are grieving. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Our 10th tithe back to the Lord. And so at this time, we're going to just begin taking up our tithes from the back to the front. And I'm going to pray over this offering that God will bless it and bless you for honoring God in this way, fulfilling what God has asked us to do. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with provision. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us with the jobs that we have so that we can, in turn, pay our bills, take care of our families, and, Lord, pay our tithe to you. We honor you in this way, Lord, with our tithes and our offerings, and we give you praise. We honor you today, and we worship you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. Oh, but I've heard tender whisper of in the dead of night when you tell me that you're pleased and that I never owe. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers, both far and wide. Oh, but I know they're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are.
Father. We may have a father on earth. We may not have a father on earth. We may not have a good father on earth, but all that matters is that we have a good father, our good father in heaven that's looking out for us. October is a big month for us in the kids ministry department. We have our biggest outreach of the year, our fall festival coming up on the 31st of this month. You know, that night is a night intended for darkness and fear, but we have the opportunity to be a light to our community that night. We have 700 people or more usually come through here that night. We get to love on their kids, give them candy, let them play games, have a safe option for Halloween. And we're really thankful for that opportunity. We have some clipboards I'm going to pass around because it takes a lot of candy. Like I said, we have hundreds of people that come through. We want to bless them with that candy that night. So if you are able to donate a bag of candy or two bags of candy, however many bags of candy, if you'll sign up on the sheet. If you prefer to just give some money to go towards that, that's an option too. And on the last sheet of the clipboard, there is a list for volunteers because we need a lot of volunteers that night too. So if you are able to help us out just to bless our people surrounding us, we're just thankful for that. At this time, parents, if you would walk your kids down the hallway to the left, check them in at the table, and you can pick them up at the end of the service.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Miranda. I was thinking about that song, Good, Good Father. I was privileged to minister away these last couple of nights over in Elizabeth City. Had a wonderful time. And Brad McClendon, the gentleman that ministered here last Sunday, had a chance to connect with him over just some fellowship and meals and getting to know him just a little bit better. And he said, we got talking about dogs. And he said, so you guys a dog lover? I said, yeah, we got a dog. So we got a little Shar Pei. And he said, oh, we've got a bulldog, an English bulldog. And then we start sharing around the table what kind of dog everybody had. And he said, yeah, we've been trying to just minister to our dog. He said, every morning my wife just gets up and she goes over to the bulldog and she says, you're a good, good bulldog. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I'm loved by you. And she said, I said, well, why is she doing that? You reckon? He said, man, that dog is wild. And we're just going to tell him every day, you're a good, good bulldog. I said, my wife did that over our dog, Ranger. She prophesied over Ranger that he was a good boy until about 3 years later, he really did become a good boy. And then when we lost it, man, it just devastated us. So 12 or 13 years. You know, he's a good father. He's a good father. And what you need to do, and God's going to speak to your hearts today about this very thing. What you need to do is every day tell him what a good father he is. Lord, you're a good father. And I'm loved by you. Even if you make mistakes. Even if you, you know, how many of you, just be honest, just say, Pastor, there's some things in my life that I struggle with still, you know. Maybe there's a vice or some habit that you have that you're trying to quit. And yet every day you just visit it again. You know, it could be anything. It could be saying words you shouldn't say. Or it could be, you know, nicotine or alcohol or whatever. You could have something like that that's just constantly knocking at your door. You could be addicted to Facebook, you know. And so you just say every day, God, you're a good, good father. And I'm loved by you. And Lord, I know you know me better than anyone. And you know my struggles. You know, the thing I've discovered about the Lord is he's not one who condemns. He's not a person of condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation. Your people here on this earth will condemn you. How many of you discovered that? They'll point the finger at you. They'll condemn you. They'll bring condemnation on you. How dare you do that? I can't believe you do. I thought you were a Christian. You know what? But Jesus doesn't do that. He does tell people. He said, listen, go on, man. But do this. Don't do this anymore. Go and sin no more. Don't do this anymore. But he never rejected people. He never rejected people. Aren't you glad he didn't reject you? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give him praise. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So many good things going on in the church and in the region here. I just was blessed to be able to minister the last couple of nights. I'll make a reference to it in the message this morning. But you have some cards that you were given this morning as you came in. They're just postcard type things. If you didn't get any, please go by the Welcome Center and grab some. I want you to take a stack with you, because every day this week I want you passing them out to your friends, to people that you work with, because we believe that we have a tremendous opportunity of revival. We want to share this revival spirit that we're experiencing with this community. And beginning this coming Sunday night, the 15th, this gentleman up here to your left, top left corner, name is Hans Hess, an absolute prince of preachers, tremendous guy. He's taken a church in Elizabeth City from 125 people to over 1,000 in just about 3 years. And God is moving powerfully there. And the thing of it is, I was so moved. I went in there one night last week, and I was able to go. I told Pastor Joy, I said, you know, I got to go over there one night because I feel like I need to be there. And I slipped in. You know, I don't want to be, you know, on the platform. I don't want to be recognized. I just kind of slipped in, you know, a few minutes after the service started, and I slid over to the far right-hand side. Preachers do that kind of stuff. We arrive late and leave a little early because we don't want to end up on the platform. So I slipped in there, and evidently somebody, he didn't see me, but evidently somebody saw me and got a message to him. So we're going on in the service. He says, well, we're glad to have Wallace Phillips from Carpenter Shop Church in Ahoskie here, and he said, I want you to stand, brother. Please stand. So come out here where we can see you. And I was like, come on, Lord. I didn't come over here for that kind of thing. I just want to be ministered to. And but you know what he said? He said, we've heard about what God is doing over in Ahoskie. And he said, as a church, we've been praying for you. We've been praying that God would pour out his spirit in Ahoskie, North Carolina. And he said, he started saying things that I've been saying. He said, we're just believing God to touch northeastern North Carolina. We're just believing God for this region to be transformed. I said, God, think of that. Think of that, Lord. You know, sometimes you have a tendency to think that you're the only one. But, you know, Elijah thought that too. And the Lord said, wait a minute, Elijah. There's thousands that haven't bowed their knee to Baal nor compromised or witnessed in their testimony. You be responsible for you. And God's doing amazing things. And Hans is going to come and preach. And, man, he's probably one of the greatest guitar players in northeastern North Carolina. I said, you're going to bring your guitar? He said, probably not, but I may try to twist his arm. The guy can crank a guitar. I'm telling you, it's amazing what he can do. But use him on the first night, and then on the second Sunday night, October nights, the 22nd, we're reaching out to the Hispanic community, okay? This is a church. Our church is not a white church. It's not a black church. Our church is a church, okay? It's a church. It's an assembly of those who are called out of darkness into the light of the gospel. And Lisa De Jesus is an incredible speaker. She will preach in English, and she will interpret for herself in Spanish, and she will preach so fast that you'll have a seatbelt on, I promise you. You'll say, good gracious alive, that woman's on fire. She is an incredible communicator of the gospel, and she is the Hispanic pastor for our largest church in the state, CFA, where Pastor Joy and the ladies were this past week. 3,000 people on a Sunday morning. Just tremendous work that God has been doing there. Lisa is a preaching machine, I promise you. This woman will bless your socks off. And then on the final Sunday night of the month, a dear, dear friend of mine, I preach for him annually. I serve on one of his boards for ministry out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Dr. Walter Boston. And we will be blessed by his ministry, prophetic ministry, strong ministry of healing, strong communicator of the gospel, tremendous, tremendous man of God. He'll be here on Sunday night, the 29th. And I've already begun to pray, you know. God has really challenged me in this season of my life, and Pastor Joy and I both are going through a shift. We're going through a growth shift in our own personal lives, and the Lord has challenged me to look ahead, to plan ahead, to think ahead, to pray ahead, and so I've been already working on, I've already got the ministry plans and schedules in my spirit, and some of them on paper for 2018. I've invited John Kilpatrick to join us in 2018. That's just a miracle. You say, well, who's John Kilpatrick? He's the pastor of the church in Brownsville, Florida, in the panhandle that started revival. Revival broke out in that church on a Father's Day, and that revival lasted 5 years. 5 years. Thousands were saved. Hotels were built, businesses were opened. It literally transformed the whole community in Pensacola, Florida. And so he stewarded that revival for a number of years, resigned the church, said, you know, I just got to get back to church as normal. And so he goes to Daphne, Alabama, and starts meeting with a few people for a Bible study. And where are we now? Right back to Church of His Presence. 3,500 people on a Sunday morning, Daphne, Alabama. Just keep having to get another building, another building, another building. God doing incredible things through John Kilpatrick's ministry. A prophet for sure in the land if there's one today. I guarantee you he'll be a tremendous asset to not just this church, but this region. These are meetings that are intended not just for us, but for northeastern North Carolina. Because I believe that this region is under construction. God is doing incredible things. He's going to. You heard Brad last week talk about this little place in Newberry, South Carolina, where you know, population 300, where God all of a sudden opened up for Samsung to build a factory in Newberry, South Carolina. And now another 2,500 jobs have come. Good jobs have come to that area. That's what northeastern North Carolina needs. This is an impoverished area. This is an impoverished area. The way of life that people know is only a life of dependency. Food stamps, free money, give me this, give me that. God never intended that. He never did. Where did that stuff supposed to come from? The church, okay? If you need help, then the church should be able to help you. Roosevelt would roll over in his grave if he knew what social services was doing today. And you're sitting here and you say, well, my mother, I get this and I get that. God bless you. But if you want to live your life like that, you need a change in your mind and in your spirit. God never intended for you to be dependent on a governmental system to survive. Amen? Never. Never. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You ought to be able to get the milk from one of them. Amen? And yet there are families in this church that God has blessed and prospered, white and black and everything in between, with successful businesses, operating successful businesses in this community. I'm looking at the faces of many of them on both sides of the aisle, that God has blessed them incredibly and promoted them in their jobs and moved them up. God never intended for you to be locked in a system where you have to wait on the government to stick something in your account the first of the month. Never. Never. I came in here one night when Walter Boston was preaching. I walked in the door and he said, I curse this in the name of Jesus. And I said, man, what's he cursing? He said, welfare. I said, what? He said, he's cursing welfare. He said, God, you never intended for your people to be dependent upon a system to survive. And so you know what? If we really, 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 truly want God to move, then is he capable or not of blessing our household? Amen? Yes, he is. Now, I don't see anything wrong with some assistance for a season in your life when you need it. Thank God for those things. Thank God for those things. But when that help becomes your crutch, you're in the wrong camp, honey. And you need to get out as quick as you can, because it'll never cause you to be the person that God destined you to be. Amen? You say, well, I don't know if I agree with you or not. I'm not asking you to agree with me. If you want to talk to me about it, 287-7572. Let's meet for coffee, all right? Praise the Lord. Mind games. Let's preach this morning. Mind games. I believe that characteristic in this season of our lives is a tremendous squeezing of the body of Christ. A tremendous pressure, if you will, where people of the kingdom are weary, 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 and tired. Let me ask you something. How many of you, without the raising of your hands this morning, just say, Pastor, I just sometimes feel like I just can't take another step. I just sometimes feel like I don't even know if I'm going to even make it to the bedroom tonight and lie down and sleep, and then I can't sleep, and then I got to rise up early because I got to do it all over again. How many of you feel like you're just exhausted and worn out? Welcome to the kingdom of God, because you know what? This is the thing that the Antichrist spirit is trying his very best to do to the kingdom of God and God's people. He's trying to wear you out. Some of you may not be a candidate to go down to First and Maple, buy yourself a crack rock or a hit of heroin, but you are a candidate for distraction, for you to get your mind off of what God wants to do and is doing in your life and get your mind on poor, pitiful me. I don't know how in the world I'm going to make it. You're a candidate for that, because the enemy wants it to his very best level to discourage you. And where does he start? He doesn't start in your pocketbook. He doesn't start in your household. He starts in your mind. He plays mind games with you. John 10:10, Jesus said this. He said, the thief cometh only to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he said the assignment of your adversary was. He came to steal your joy. He came to kill you spiritually. He came to destroy your soul in hell. But Jesus said, guess what, devil? I've come to stretch my arms out and shed my blood, to give life to people, to give it to them to the full. That's what Christ came for. That's what Christ came for. And see, the problem that I've experienced as a pastor all these years, I listen to story after story about people who come and they feel like, well, you know, I made a mistake and I failed here and I had an adulterous affair or I did something wrong. And then you want to just throw in the towel and give up. Can I just tell you something? Christ never gave up on you. Don't you give up on yourself. You will live again. You will love again. You will move forward again. God wants you to move forward. He does. The assignment of the enemy on your life is to steal your joy and rob you of your spiritual inheritance and take away every possibility of any hope and a future in your life. But Christ came to destroy the works of the devil, and he did a good job. He said, "It is finished." Come on, look at your neighbor and say, "It's finished."
It's finished.
Christ did it. He did it all on the cross of Calvary. We make Christianity so hard. We make it so complicated. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, what does he call us to? He said, listen, I want you to be self-controlled. And I want you to be alert. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you, the Apostle Peter here is speaking. He said, I want you to principles of self-control to be operative in your life. These are what? These are benefits, fruit, if you will, of a relationship with Christ that are manifested by the Spirit in your life. That's a heavy enough message. We could stop right there and talk for an hour. These are the manifestations of a relationship with God that whereby his fruit is sprouting in your life. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, self-control, temperance, all these things manifest in your life. Why? Because old things are passed away and now all things have become as new. And I'm sprouting out love and I'm sprouting out peace and I'm sprouting out self-control. It's growing in my life. That's what God wants from you. He says, be self-controlled and alert. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. But then he says what? Resist him. Stand up. Stand up. Resist him. Stand firm, not in your own strength. Stand firm in your faith that was given you when you came to Jesus Christ and said, now I'm going to serve him. Stand in your faith. Stand strong with your loins girded about with truth. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. All I'm giving you is Bible. You're not going to hear this on CNN. I'm sorry. You're not going to hear it on TV much anymore. If you watch the TV preachers, a lot of them, all they want to do is you to send them their money. Send them their money. Send them their money. What do you get back in turn? And I'm not going to kid you. I want your money too. I want your tithe. Amen. I want your offerings. Why? So that the ministry can advance and move on and stay current and fresh. Yes, Pastor Wallace wants your money. But I'm not into some gimmick. All I can do is pledge to you that I'm going to do the very best that I can to lead this ministry with character and integrity and constantly try to move forward and constantly try to bridge our church to this community and touch people for the kingdom of God. That's all I can promise you.
Amen.
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 Resist him. Stand firm in your faith. Man, I don't know about you, but I see an increase in the season of attack on the minds of God's children. On the minds of God's children. Playing mind games. Used to be a song out there. You're playing mind games. You remember that one? Remember that, rock and roll fans? And guess what? That's what the devil is doing with you and me. He's playing mind games. If he can wear you out from the neck above, then he can defeat you. That's why you've got to let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind which is also in Christ Jesus. That's why when you ride down the road, you've got to listen to the gospel. You've got to listen to preaching and teaching and fill your mind with the power of the gospel. Amen? Every time I get in the car behind my wife, Pastor Joy, she's got it cranked up with preaching. Every time I get in there, I say, wow, going down the road of what a better man God's called me to be and how the power of the gospel has changed my life. I said, go on, girl. She gets in that car. She turns that stereo on and she tunes into that satellite station that she listens to and listens to the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is the only thing that will change us in this day and hour in which we live. And the word of God is the only thing that will sustain us. Amen? Amen? Oh, take a drink. It'll help you. Yes, it will. But it's only temporary. When it wears off, you're in trouble. You got to have another one. Just do a shot. Take a hit. It'll work. The last time I read the Bible, it says enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin's fun, but sin's destructive. Sin's fun, but it doesn't last long. And the end thereof is what? Death. But Jesus is the one who does what? He gives life. He gives hope. He gives a future. And he says, what I want you to do is resist this devil. And another place in the Bible, it says what? You resist him and what will happen? He will flee from you. He will go the other way. Bother somebody else. Go find a lukewarm Christian. They're easier. Amen? I thank the Lord that the Bible says in Romans 8 verse 37, but we are not just conquerors, we are what? More than conquerors. Through who? Through him who loved us. First John chapter 4 verse 4, that greater is he that is within us than he that's in the world. We've got the power inside of us. We have the same power inside of us that raised Christ Jesus from the dead. And yet, guess what, beloved? We're living way, 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 way beneath our divine potential as believers in this gospel. Way beneath it. So we're definitely in touch with what the enemy is consistently doing today. He's trying to mess with the minds of God's believers. But the Bible says, listen, when the mind games start, what does God have to say about it? Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8 is our text for today. That was just my introduction. Say, praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8, where Paul says, from the jailhouse. How many of you have ever written a nice letter when you were in jail? When you get in jail, thank God I've never been in jail. I didn't say I didn't deserve to be. I've deserved to be put in jail many times, but I never got caught. Never got caught. I should have been caught. But I never got caught. But in jail, you usually don't write stuff like this. In jail, you usually write a letter and you say, can you please deposit some money in my snack account? In the jail, you write a letter. Can you please get an attorney and help me? I don't belong here. In jail, you try your best to get yourself out. But in jail, this is what he says. Rejoice from the bars. Rejoice in the Lord always. Paul's in prison here. He says, again, I'll say it. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Can you imagine being in jail where Paul was in jail? All the other prisoners are just wild. All the other prisoners are just crazy. All the other prisoners are just cussing and carrying on and calling the guards all kinds of names. And Paul's sitting there in the corner going, Shandalaburabasitiyananamo. Oh, God, I worship you. God, I thank you for this prison cell. I ask you to speak to me today. I ask you, God, to visit me in this cell. God, I ask your presence to come down in this jailhouse and shake this thing to the foundation. I ask you, God, to save the jailer. And guess what happened? In Philippian jailer was saved and his household. Somebody ought to get excited a little bit in this house today. Paul from jail says, rejoice. Rejoice. And again, I'll say it. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. I might be in jail, but the Lord is right here with me. He's near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, that's thanking him for what he's already doing behind the scenes. Can't see the evidence in front of me, but he's working in my behalf. Present your request to God. Amen? Amen. Then he goes on and says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts. Here we go. And your what? and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of that. Amen. Man, we live in a world today where the thought life of believers is attacked so much. Amen. Sometimes you think, man, where some of y'all are thinking, where in the hell did this come from? Amen. Came from hell. Okay. I don't think like this. Where did this come from? It came from hell. It came from the demonic, who are the prince of the powers of the air, has released the demonic spirits. One third of them fell from heaven. And all of those spirits are running to and fro in the earth. And they're putting thoughts in your mind. And they're bringing back situations and circumstances in your life. And they're parading them in front of you. And all of these ungodly thoughts are going through your head. But here he says, think of this. Think about noble things, true things, pure things, not impure things. Think about good things. And that's what he calls us to. Paul the Apostle is telling us just how to face this challenge and live at peace. Somebody say peace. Peace in our lives. That's what he's calling us to. How to live calm and collected. When he said, Peter said, be sober and alert. That word sober is to be calm. Collected. It means to be watchful of everything that is around you, all around you, sober and alert. The word circumference comes from that, all around you, because your enemy is on the prowl. Paul the Apostle is saying, listen, I want you to understand something. Verse 4 tells us you need to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. I love Eugene Peterson's rendition of this in the Message. He says, celebrate the Lord all day, every day. Amen. Amen. Celebrate the Lord, what he's done for you, all day, every day. I stood here in worship this morning. The song starts, I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. And I just visited the fact that I was forgiven. And I just sat right there and had a moment with God and said, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. I didn't deserve to be forgiven. And I traveled with Richard and the team all the way back to the cross and said, Lord, thank you for amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love. I know it's true. It's my joy, Lord, because of this, to honor you. Listen, start paying attention to what you're singing. Amen. Yeah. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? As you sing it, think about what you're saying. Because words are so powerful. Words are so powerful. He says, celebrate the Lord all day, every day. Somebody's saying, is that really possible to be continually joyful? Yes, it is. And in case you didn't know it, the Bible says that it's the joy of the Lord that is your strength, okay? That's why, you know, Jesus said, listen, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What's he trying to steal? Your joy. Because if he steals your joy, he sets you up to kill you and rob you of your spiritual inheritance. Most people don't really enjoy life. They endure it. They don't really enjoy it. They endure it. They're working their way through. How many times have I seen Christians? How you doing, man? Well, I'm doing the best I can. Oh, really? Don't sound like it to me. How you doing? Well, considering the circumstances. What is the profession of your mouth? How you doing? I'm hanging in there. I don't want to just hang. I want to get up above the hanging and get my feet on something solid that I can walk up rightly and say, God, I thank you that you brought me out of this. I'm not just hanging. I'm not just hanging on by a thread. I got my feet planted on the solid foundation and I'm moving forward in the things that God has for me. I don't want to just hang on. I don't want to just make it. I'm making it. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get exactly what you get out of your mouth. That's what you're going to get. So make sure you watch your profession, the profession of your mouth. Some of you are asking, man, how in the world do you go through life? I'm trying to help you here. How in the world do you go through life and you make it successfully and you make it joyfully and you make it through all of the hardships and the difficulties? Some of you are saying, well, you know what? It's so much stress. Did you know there's only 79 days left till Christmas? I got to get shopping. I don't know how I'm going to take care of this month, much less December. Well, why don't you just go out and charge everything so you'll have a real nice January? No. Christmas is not about you anyway. What about if you just said, as we said in our family several years ago, no presents. All we do is bless the little kids with something. We don't give presents. We don't actually, let's draw names. You ain't doing nothing drawing names. Because you get the name of the person that's the hardest to buy for, and then you're even more stressed. Amen? Cut this mess out. Go to Christmas saying, I thank you, God. I have the joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Jingle bells ringing in my soul because I've got a hold of Jesus and everything gonna be all right. Merry Christmas. Come on, don't go through the holidays dreading it. Don't go through 79 more days and I got to get something on sale. You're going to make it hard for yourself. Well, Pastor, I was going to get you a present. Don't give me nothing. Just send me a check. Amen? Don't waste your time in stressful shopping. W-A-L-L-A-C-E-P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S. My wife's name is Joy, J-O-Y. Don't stress over shopping. Just send a card and some money. We'll make it all right. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, my pastor preaches the truth now. Come on, somebody. Stress-free shopping. Write me a check. I love y'all, man. Amen. That's what those college girls are going to receive today. Well, I didn't do it because there's 8 of them. Well, so what? What if there were 28? Rejoice in the Lord that there's not 28. That you only had 8 gifts to buy. That you only got to drop 8 $5 bills back there in the box today. Just rejoice. My wife and I have always sowed into college students. You know why? Because we were sowing into the blessing of God on our own kids for college. And you know what? They got through miraculously. Man, some of the hardest days of my life were when my kids were in college. Hardest days. And then they got graduated, and we're giving more money to college students today than we were giving then. Why? Because I got grandchildren coming along. Guess what? They're going to college too. So I'm sowing seeds of kindness. I'm planting seeds that will harvest and manifest in the lives of Ava and Caleb and Levi and Lexi and all the other 8 that hadn't been born yet. Praise the Lord. We're believing for a dozen. Give to those college girls, man. Bless them. Paul gives us 4 very simple, directives that come from this passage. Number one, he says, worry about nothing. Worry about nothing. Some of you need to write this down. Worry about nothing. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because worry is a killjoy. It'll kill your joy. Worry will destroy you. Worry, don't do anything about the past. Statistics have told us that 40% of what people worry about is something that's already gone by. It's past. Worry can't do anything about the past. Worry can't change the future. The only thing worry does is steal your love and your joy in the present. It makes you miserable. One preacher said here in this pulpit a couple of weeks ago, I don't know who it was, I don't remember. He said, worry is a sin. I agree with him. Why is worry a sin? Because the Bible says what? Don't worry about anything. If the Bible says don't and you do it, what are you doing?
Sinning.
Thank you. That wasn't hard, was it? Do not be anxious about anything. Smithsonian Magazine has called the day in which we live in the age of anxiety. Man, it would blow your mind. It would blow your mind the number of antidepressants that exist in this world today. Can I just take it a step further? It would blow your mind if you knew how many sitting in this room right now were on at least one and maybe more prescriptions of antidepressants. Christians. Nobody said amen.
Amen.
It's just the truth. Antidepressant. I just need something. You got Jesus.
Amen.
You got Jesus. Amen. You got the Word of God that says, "Do not be anxious about anything." We got a very successful pharmacist sitting right here within my purview, Diane Prince. I went to one of her sessions on, and she's, you know what she said that blew me away. I should have known this, but I didn't. The most abuse of drugs today is not the drugs on the street. The most abuse of drugs today, she said, was what? Prescription drugs. And there are people that lie and get prescription drugs. There are people that get their family to get their drugs for them. There are Christians that do this. Can I use your prescription? That's fraud. That's lying. That's cheating. That's deceiving. And Christians are doing it. Christians do that anyway. They'll use somebody's name so they can get the power turned on in their house because their credit ain't from squat. Because they ruined it because they wouldn't pay their bills and all they were doing is drinking and carrying on and acting foolish. Now you got to get your light bill in somebody else's name. Man, y'all got me cranked up today. You do. No, the devil's got me cranked up. You know why? Because he's playing mind games with the children of the living God who don't have to do those kinds of things. You can get things decent and in order in your own life. You say, "Pastor, you don't know the mess I've made." I know that God can clean your mess up and turn everything around for you. God can do it. He says, "Don't you worry about a thing." Worry is not natural. You were not born with it. It is an invasion of your mind in the spirit realm. Matthew 6:6. But when you pray, how do you deal with worry? But when you pray, in other words, not should you decide to pray. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You shut yourself alone with God and say, "Lord, I got to have a talk with you." And you pour out your lament. You pour out your complaints. You pour out your petitions to the Lord. Because he's the one that can do something about it. Rather than worry, Jesus said you should get alone with the Father. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 6:34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow." Tomorrow's got enough worry in its own self. That's what Jesus said. Paul said it. Jesus said it. Paul said it from the jail. You don't need to be worrying. Secondly, you need to pray about everything. We used to poke fun at Joy's mom, bless her heart. We used to poke fun at Jane Bridgers. Going shopping. Going over to the rack. The rack says, "This is half price. Take another 30% off of this." You don't have to pray about that. Just find your size and snatch them off the rack and go to the counter and thank God for your deductions, right? No, she's standing there. "Well, Lord, which one should I buy? Lord, thank you. Help me discover which one I should buy." Man, I'm too ADHD for that. I just get everything in a 2X and walk out the door saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I got me a bunch of shirts marked down." And then if I don't like them, guess what? I give them away. I didn't pay nothing for them anyway. Okay. But these ladies pray about, which one should I buy? I used to say, do you think God really cares which one you buy? But you know what? They were serious about it. And the Bible says, in everything, should I marry this girl? You better pray about it. She might be the most demonized, blonde-headed woman you ever went off with in your life. And she got it from a jar. Amen. That ain't her blonde hair. Okay? Shame on you. See, if you'd have sought God, you'd have found the brown-haired girl anyway. In everything. By prayer and by petition and with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. Speaking about hair, I got to say this. I was conducting a business meeting for a church that became quite filled with fireworks. And one of the ladies came up to me and she said, you should have known that I was challenging to deal with. This is the truth now, Pastor Joy can tell you. She said, you should have known that I'd be challenged to deal with. I got red hair. I said, ma'am, at your age, you got it out of a bottle. Joy, did I? I did. I said, ma'am, at your age, you got it out of a bottle. It ain't got nothing to do with the way you've been acting in this room tonight. And you might have had other leaders to come in here and walk over your attitude and just do nothing about it. But I'm not going to stand here and put up with this. Okay? That's just a rabbit. I had to shoot him. Come on, somebody. Pray about everything. Whenever God tells you to eliminate something, he always gives you something to replace it. He says, eliminate your worry and replace it with prayer. Verse 6b, in everything by prayer and by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request. Paul says, don't panic, man. Pray. He says, make a petition. What is a petition? It is a specific request that is detailed. You have to move beyond, well, God, I'm just asking you to bless me. Oh, just bless me. No, get specific. Get specific. Get detailed. It matters what you ask God for. Learn to get meticulous with your prayers. God, I'm just asking your will. Well, that's a wonderful thing sometimes. But if you're a Christian, you know what you have the ability to discover by the realm of the Spirit and by the reading of His Word? You have the ability to discover what His will is or isn't. And it's not easy. It's very difficult. In fact, the longer I serve the Lord, the more difficult it is to discover God's will. You know why? Because I care more. I care more today than I did before. I don't want to miss God. I really don't. The J.B. Phillips translation says of verse 6b, when you pray, tell God every detail of your needs. Someone may say, well, he knows what you need before he asks. The Bible says the hairs on your head are numbered. Yes, he knows what you need before you ask. But our good, good Father wants us to come to him and say, Father, I just want to thank you for who you are and that you've ordered my steps. And Lord, as I come to you today giving you praise, I want to honor what your word says. I bring my petition before you. See, God wants to know what you want. Bartimaeus was blind as a bat in Jericho, outside of Jericho. And he worked his way through the crowds, and Jesus knew that Bartimaeus could not see. What did Jesus ask Bartimaeus? Help me, church. What would you have of me? What do you want, Bartimaeus? Jesus knew he was blind. He said, oh, that I might see. See, God wants to know. You say, Pastor, you really think so? I think God wants to know what you want. 1 Peter 5:7 says, you cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. And that word cast, Peter here is using the imagery of a garbage dump. He's using the imagery of a place of refuse where garbage and trash and filth are piled in. And Jesus is wanting us to do this, back up to him and hit the button and release all the cares of this life onto Him, because He's the one who cares for you. He does this in Gethsemane. Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus was the night He was betrayed. It was a normal place for Him to go on the Mount of Olives. I've been there many times. Beautiful little garden. Peaceful place overlooking the old city of Jerusalem. Glorious, glorious view for your eyes to see. And Jesus went there to be alone with the Father. He always went to the Mount of Olives. And He's in Gethsemane, the place of prayer. And the Bible says, of one gospel writer says, He sweat as if drops of blood were falling to the ground. And He pours out His lament. He says, Father, if it be Thy will, take this cup from me. He gave the Father one petition. Take this cup from me. I don't want to do this. He says, nevertheless, it's not really about me. It's about You and Your will. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And you know what the Bible says? Behold, angels came and ministered to Him. Why don't you get the angels a little busy around you? Some of you don't have them doing anything. The Bible says angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. Why don't you get the angels off their seats and get busy doing something for you and cast all your cares upon the Lord, and He will release the ministering spirits to move in your behalf. God will do this. I love that song, Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There's one verse in there that says, perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, mercy, whispers of love. Angels are on assignment. And when you start to pray, the angels, the songwriter said, following after 1 Peter 5:7, says the angels are dispatched and they come down and they just all around you going, mercy, mercy, mercy. See? All around you. All around you. I read recently in a magazine that a life insurance company did a study and discovered that people who attend church service at least once a week have been shown in the 20th and the 21st century to live longer than people used to live. Why? Because they are doing something in their spiritual life. They come in, they praise. They come in, they pray. They come in, they connect with believers of like precious faith. And Christians are living 7 years longer than they used to. Why? Because they're casting their cares on the Lord. J.B. Phillips puts it like this, 1 Peter 5:7. You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon Him because you are His personal concern. Amen. So number one, we worry about nothing. Number two, we pray about everything. Number three, we thank God in all things. Verse 6c, in everything, with thanksgiving. That's how you make your request to God. You ask Him with a thankful heart. Man, so many times, listen, my prayer life, you if you hung around me, if you heard me pray, this is my prayer life. I have cultivated a prayer life over the years of thanking God based upon this scripture. God, I just thank You that You are. And I would fill in the blank. God, thank You that You're doing this. Thank You, God, that you are walking with me. Pastor Joy and I pull out of the driveway every day. We go to work early. We get home late. We are people who go to work. Amen? Amen. We leave home in the morning. And either it's her or either it's me, one or the other, because we're going to drive. The car's moving. Father, I just want to thank You for this day. As we leave home today, God, we speak favor over our lives, God, to thank You that You're going to go before us today. This is our Monday prayer. Thank You that we're going to be productive. The things we put our hands to, God, You're going to cause us to do more than we even thought we were capable of doing today. God, thank You for dotting every I and crossing every T. Thank You, Lord, with thanksgiving. I declare today is a wonderful day in the name of Jesus. Now, we could pull out the driveway and say, good Lord, it's Monday. All over again. Give me a break. If that's the way you do it, honey, the enemy has dispatched his demons. And you know what? He's going to do his dead level best to make sure you get what you said. You're going to get what you said. So watch what you say. Watch what you say. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I got to hurry up here. Give thanks in every circumstance. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Last night I had the privilege to preach, and you know what? I thought, this is crazy. Pastor Joy, she's preaching across the state at the women's conference, and she texts me, well, I'm praying for you tonight. You know, I thought, you know, a few hours ago you were sweating bullets. Now you're praying for me, you know. And you know why? When she sent me that, I was saying, honey, you can do this, honey. God's going to anoint you. God's going to take you to a new level, sweetie. God's going to use you. But she was pressured because she was preaching. They had over 500 in attendance, women from all across the state. She's preaching to preachers and preachers' wives and all these women's leaders and all this stuff. And she was nervous. She was worried. And I tried to understand her. I said, sweetheart, I've been doing this for 35 years. And can I tell you something? I still get nervous. I still get nervous. And I'm glad I do. I still get nervous. And so last night, I arrived at the church, Richard, where I was to preach last night. And I knew I was preaching with Bishop Ann Jimenez from Rock Church in Norfolk. That made me nervous enough just to know I was going to preach on the same platform that she was. And then I look at the order of service, and they put the preachers in this order. Brad McClendon, Bishop Ann Jimenez, Pastor Wallace Phillips. I thought, thank you, Lord. You put me last, okay? You put me last. And so that made it worse. And I'm standing over there, and I'm just saying, Lord, I don't know. I'm texting my wife. Well, guess what? They put me last. And then I started to hit send, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, what's your message about tomorrow? I said, yes, I forgot. I'm preaching about worry and anxiety tomorrow. So I stood there in my place, Richard, and I said, Lord, I just thank you for what you're going to do in just a moment. God, I just thank you that you're going to be, it's not going to be about Wallace Phillips, God. It's going to be about your presence. It's going to be about your people. It's going to be about your word. I thank you, God, that you're going to anoint me once again. I don't deserve it, God, but I'm asking you one more time, Lord. Would you please anoint your servant that I might be effective communicating what you placed in my mind and my spirit tonight. God, help me because I'm scared, Lord, is what I said. When I was over with, Bishop Jimenez came to me. And she said, you know, sir, she said, I've never met you, but you're quite a preacher. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I needed that, God. God's a good God, isn't he? She shared a story last night. 83 years old. Got off a plane from Scotland on Friday night, preaching in Elizabeth City on Saturday night with me. 83 years old. I said, Lord, thank you. You give me hope. You give me hope that my ministry is not going to come to an end quickly. Here's a giant in the faith preaching all over the world. She's 83 years old. She shared a testimony of how she got out of a car recently, and she thought she was on one level, and when she stepped out, she realized that the steps were way down lower than she thought, and she tripped and fell. And when she fell, she hit her hand on a solid object on the way down. And she said, immediately, my hand began to swell. It turned blue. And I thought, oh, my Lord, you know, what's going to happen here? And she said the next morning it was just throbbing. And she said, I did a little test, and as I squeezed my hand, when I squeezed my hand together, the knuckle shifted over to another position. She said, this is crazy. And she said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, don't you believe what that woman preaches? And she said, I believe what that woman preaches, Lord. And she said, that woman was me. And she said, so I took my hand and I held it up to my face and I said, hand, I command you right now in the name of Jesus to release the swelling. I command the blood to go back to its right place in this body. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that you were wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities, and by your stripes I'm healed. And then she said, I took this chance. She said, I've never done this before, but I went, and I blew on my hand. She said, the next morning I got up, and I looked, and I said, Glory to God. She said, my hand was normal. I thought, well, I'll do the test. And she squeezed it, and she said, all the joints were working in the right place. She said, God, this really works. It really works. So she said, I was going about my business a few days later, and she said, I had misplaced my glasses, and I can't see, and I read every day. And she said, I finally found my glasses, and she said, I put my glasses on and said, you know what, God, I'm so sick and tired of these glasses anyway. And so she said, I thought, well, work with my hand. So she said, I took my glasses off, and I said, eyes? Are you listening to me, eyes? She said, in the name of Jesus, be clear. And then she said, I went, and I blew on my hands and put them back on my eyes. And she said, as custom, my daughter, the age I am, she said, they drive me around. My daughter orders for me in the restaurants. So she said, the waitress came to the table, and I took the menu, and I picked it up, and she said, I'll have so-and-so and so. And her daughter says, Mama, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm ordering. She says, you don't order for yourself. You can't see the menu. And she said, I can see the menu. So she said, I put my glasses on, and she said, they're not real strong glasses. They're like the lowest level of helping to read. They're like a 1.5. And she said, I put the glasses on, and I couldn't see. She said, I took them off and I could see. She said, God, I thank you for healing my eyes. In other words, listen, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask for. Think. You've got to turn around and start thanking God for what he's going to do. Either he can do it or he can't. So you thank God for all things. Fourth and finally, you think about the right things. I think this is self-explanatory. I preached long enough. You know what you need to be thinking about. You don't need to be thinking ungodly thoughts. You don't. You don't need to be thinking impure thoughts. You don't. You don't need to be thinking about the worst things and what's going to happen to me. I know what's going to happen when I get to court today. I know they're going to testify, and I know the judge is going to say guilty. You don't need to be thinking those things. You say, how come you use a court example? Because I've been to court and I've seen some of y'all there. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is praiseworthy, excellent, think about such things. Think about the right things. Paul is the one who tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 10:5, you need to take captive every thought and make it what? Make it obedient to Christ. What are we saying in this word this morning? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks, so is he. Play mind games. Yes. That's what he's doing, playing mind games with you, trying to get you to think the worst, when God's design for you is to have the best. Paul says, pray about everything, worry about nothing, thank God for all things, think only the right things. I love verse 7. If you do this, and what? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. Hey, mind games. Guard your what? Your mind. In Christ Jesus. Let's thank him this morning for peace of mind. Lord, I just want to thank you for peace of mind. I just want to thank you, Lord, for the salvation of my daughter. I just want to thank you, God, for healing my body. I just want to thank you, Lord. Maybe it hasn't happened yet. Maybe you've been praying this prayer for, Pastor, I do this. I do this. I've been praying this for so long. Just pray a little longer. Lord, I just thank you for success in this business endeavor. I'm doing a business transaction with a gentleman right now that is a large transaction. And I look at him, and my judgment is, man, this is not an issue for you. This is not an issue for you. I look at your business, and you have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of work being done, but you don't owe me but X number of dollars. It's a considerable amount of money. And you're saying, I want to give you a check, but I'm just going to date it. If it's okay with you, I'm just going to date it for like 2 weeks out. And I'll let you know when you can drop it. You shouldn't have that problem. You don't know people's challenges. You don't know. Bigger takes bigger faith. Bigger means bigger deadlines. Bigger means bigger responsibilities. More means more stress. More means more pressure. God doesn't trust that with everybody. Some of you are saying, Lord, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. And I just want you to change your thinking. The enemy has played a mind game. He's dispatched his demons around you. But see, when they get to you, angels are already camped out around you. And they can say, stop right there. You are not going to pervert my sister's mind. Lord, I just want to thank you for making this happen. I just want to thank you, God, that you are bringing the right person in my son's life. I just thank you that you've put my daughter with a man who loves God. I just thank you, Lord, that you have enabled us to pay all these bills. We never could have done it without you. I just thank you, God. Maybe you're not even there yet, but you start thanking God for what he's going to do. And please, 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 please stop worrying. Stop worrying. Because worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. I see a tree around you, a tree sprouting branches. There are leaves on those branches. And in the spirit, a moment ago when I looked your way, I saw those leaves begin to wrinkle. They were wrinkling. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? And the Lord says to you this day, I'm beginning to change your circumstance even though you don't see it. The leaves are wrinkling. The leaves are turning. They're going to die. They're going to fall off. And a season of challenge you're going to go through. You think the heat's hot now. The season of challenge you're going to go through is going to cause you to say, God, what are you doing? But guess what? Weeping may remain for a season, but the Lord says joy comes in the morning. Okay? Stand up on your feet right now. Joy comes in the morning. Lift your hands right where you are. Pastor Joy, would you pray for her? Weeping may remain for a season, but joy comes in the morning. Don't waver when the thing begins to get a little tougher, because God says, listen, I've got this. I've got this. Things are going to die. They're going to fall off. And you will have springing forth to new life again. Shira la mosa. Rondele beke siti ala la mosata. Lord, I worship you, I worship you. Thank you, Jesus. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give
Jesus Christ, his son. Check this out. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what need. Some preachers in the house, need some ministers. Some of our guys are preaching away today, but I need some prayer people, some ministers of the gospel, because I'm going to send you a battalion of people in a moment. They're going to come. Hallelujah. Come on.